Well, this morning we continue our journey through the Gospel of Matthew. We're getting near the end of the ninth chapter right now. Have a very brief lesson for today, but a very powerful one, as they all are. The lesson comes from the 32nd to 34th verses of the ninth chapter, and as I prepare to read this, I'd like you to remember something that I mentioned last week. Last week we had the healing of the blind man who followed Jesus home to where he was staying. And when Jesus went indoors, he followed in after him. They followed in. There are two of them in Matthew. And we talked last week about how what a full day Jesus had had. For over a chapter, Matthew's been saying, you know, this happened, then he did this, then he did this, then this came up, and then this happened, then this happened. The day's over, he goes home, he still doesn't get any rest. Two blind men follow him into the house. He heals them, and as he heals them, he tells them not to tell anybody. And then we pick up with today's lesson. While the blind men were going out of the house, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he casts out demons." I'd like to begin by saying of Jesus, there are just some days when people are just never satisfied. I'm imagining Matthew right now, after a hard day of coding and working with his programming, to have a supervisor come in, as I'm sure will happen somewhere along the line, and say, "No, we don't want to do this. Do it all over and do it this way." No matter how much hard work you put into something, it's just never enough. Here Jesus has had what you might call a 30-hour day. No break at all from the time he sets out in the morning. Even after he comes home at night, there are still things that need to be done. And as some of the people recognize, he did everything well. But there are always those detractors who said, "Yeah, but it's by the prince of demons that he casts out demons." I can understand Jesus being frustrated. I can understand Jesus saying to the blind man when they left, "Now don't tell anybody." Because Jesus is thinking, the last thing I need is for more people to be coming around here for healing, to receive healing, and to have people still not pay attention to the words I say, which is a more important reason for my coming than my healings were. Today's miracle that Jesus performs is one that probably doesn't get a whole lot of attention, but it really deserves a lot of attention. And I'll tell you right off the bat, I should not be preaching this sermon. Because you should have someone up here preaching it who has had Jesus heal them of the problem of not being able to speak. Now you're probably thinking, "Are you kidding? You make us sit here for 35 minutes every Sunday and you say you don't speak well?" Well, it's one thing to give a sermon. It's one thing to teach a Sunday school or a Bible study class. It's another thing to communicate with people on a daily basis. And whenever I read this miracle of the mute man being able to speak, I pray that God would do a miracle like that for me. I visit some people during my usual work week who struggle with handicaps. Every week I call my mom, and she's struggling with the difficulty in seeing. She can see enough to get around, but she can't see enough to recognize faces or to read without special equipment. I visit another person who has trouble seeing, and I can sense the frustration. I visit another person who has trouble hearing. And nearly every time that I visit her, she says to me, "I wonder which is worse, to not be able to see or to not be able to hear." She casts her vote for not being able to hear because she says you feel so isolated when you know people are talking to you and you hear nothing. At least if you can't see, at least you can still interact with people through your voice. And she has a point. I don't know which is worse, to not see or to not hear, but I have a feeling there's one thing worse than both of them, and that's to not be able to speak. I have visited people with this problem as well. I have visited people in hospitals who have had respirators and aren't able to talk. And you know they want to communicate, but they can't speak. I have visited people in other situations who have a problem with the connection between the brain and the mouth. They know what they want to say, but they can't put it into words. Now, of course, I know what it's like to know what I want to say and forget for the moment, what's that person's name, or which book in the Bible is that reference in? That's bad enough. Those are momentary lapses. But to live 24/7 with a condition that makes it difficult, if not impossible, for you to put your thoughts into words, I know must be very frustrating. And there's one more condition that's frustrating. And that's a condition where you don't have a problem with the brain. You don't have a problem with the voice box. But you have a problem with something else that makes it difficult for you to put things into words. Perhaps you know people who don't have this problem at all. Perhaps you know people of whom you might say, I kind of wish sometimes they did have that problem once in a while, because they talk so much. They're never quiet. Well, for people who can't communicate, people like that are a godsend. When I go to visit people, the first thing I say to myself is, if I know the person, how good are they at conversation? Because my biggest fear when I go to visit somebody is that I'll sit with them and neither one of us will say anything. I had a pastor like that one time. He would make a visit, a house visit. He'd knock on the door, hello, Pastor John, come on in. And he'd say, you know, how you doing? How's the weather? Some hot stuff we've been having, isn't there? Yep, there sure is. Yep, sure is hot. Nice place you have here. Yep, sure is hot. I feel his pain. I felt his pain when he would visit. I thought, oh man, maybe if I could come up with something to say. But unfortunately, he was visiting someone who had the same problem he had. And we could have sat there for half an hour. Yep, sure is hot. I don't know why things are like that. I'm sure there's a reason. I know there are people who are gifted communicators. They always told me that Obama was a very skilled communicator, but I don't see it, but some people do. There are people who can go into any situation and start a conversation with anybody. And then there are those that can't. And it can be very frustrating. I had a counselor one time who said, if you pray to God for the words, he'll give them to you. And sometimes I have found that to be true. But you know that chorus that we sing, it says, in His time? His time always seems to be about 2 hours after I've left. And I get home and I'm doing something else and I'm thinking, why didn't I talk about this? Why didn't I talk about it? I had someone tell me the other day, I've mentioned this before, I think, in my sermons, I'm an evolutionist. What do you think of that? I've since learned a joke that I could have told them, but I won't tell it now. Tammy's giving a big sigh of relief. Don't want to hear that joke again. I didn't know what to say. Since then, I've thought a lot about it. I still don't know what I'd say. I could probably say something if someone brought it up in a Bible study or in Sunday school. I could probably preach a sermon on it. But it was just one-on-one. And it just came up. I didn't know what to say. Believe me, I was praying then. Oh, Thou who touched the lips of the mute and they spoke, touch my lips and give me the words that will open this man's heart to see the reality of Your creation. But the words didn't come then. Why is it? It'd be easy for me to say, well, there's a demon that keeps me from speaking. And, you know, I don't think I would totally discount that, because I think the demons are quite interested in us not speaking up for God. They don't want us to share the story. They don't want us to tell the truth. They're working overtime in Washington, D.C., where people don't know how to speak the truth. And it's nice to know that Jesus was able, with a command, to cast out demons and to loose the tongue of those who were not able to speak. But there are many reasons why people can't speak, and that's only one. And sometimes God likes working in miraculous ways. And sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes God knows that the answer lies deep, and that there's value in digging deep to find it. And there are benefits that come from doing the digging and the hard work that it takes to overcome such obstacles. And He's not going to do the work for us. But it is nice to know that the God who cast out demons and enabled the mute to speak is able, in place of the demons, to place His Spirit, who then can guide us in doing the hard work that only we can do. And of course, there's the reality that all people are different. Some people speak too much. Some people speak well. Some people don't speak enough. Jesus is kind of our example, I guess. The last thing we read of Jesus in today's passage is that people had two reactions to His ministry. Some people felt that He was doing things through the power of Satan. In other words, that what He was doing was not really useful for faith and did not really help us to develop the relationship with God that we need. But most people seem pleased with what Jesus did. And they commented to one another, he does all things well. And so he does. Jesus did do all things well. He knew when to speak. And when it was time to speak, he knew what to say. And he knew when it was time to be silent. And he was never silent when he should have spoken. And so in that regard, he's a model. Someone whose example we can follow. There are many reasons why we might want to speak. We might want to share the gospel, as I should have with my evolutionist friend. We might want to give the comfort of Christ to someone who's going through a difficult time. We all know what it's like to struggle for words on an occasion like that. And there are times when our desire to communicate has nothing really to do with the gospel. It just has to do with opening our hearts up to those we love. And sometimes that's a difficult communication to do. Today's passage gives us hope. Hope that there is someone who is able to loose the tongue, to give it words, fitting words, words of healing, words of comfort, words of love, words of self-revelation. Isaiah said that every morning the Spirit of God would waken him to learn like a disciple, directly from the mouth of God. What a communication that would be. Paul tells us we should learn how to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. Solomon tells us that the proper word for a given situation is like apples of gold and a setting of silver. He also tells us that the thoughts of a man lie deep within his spirit, but a man of wisdom can draw them out. So we know that God understands the art of communication. We have a book here that represents his communicating with us. And in this book, he gives us examples of people who can and people who can't. And every once in a while, he gives us a lesson like that of today. It's usually a very brief lesson, not many words, but the message is loud and clear. Jesus has been spending 9 chapters in the Gospel of Matthew demonstrating that he, like the God who led the Israelites through the Exodus, is the answer to our need. Whatever need we have, he is the I Am that answers that need. Are we lonely? Jesus says, I am your friend. Are we all too aware of our sinfulness? Jesus says, I am your Savior. Do we hunger and thirst for God? Jesus says, I am the living water. I am the bread of life. Are we blind to what God is doing in our lives? Or blind to the beauty in other people's lives? Jesus demonstrates that he can cast away blindness with a touch, with a word, a little bit of mud maybe. Jesus can touch our eyes and make us see. He can touch our ears, make us hear. He can even touch our lips and enable us to speak. He does all things well. He knows how to speak. He knows how to be silent. And when he speaks, he knows what to say. Yet even with Jesus, there were those who thought that his words were blasphemy and his deeds were sinful. For those of us who have trouble speaking because we're afraid others will judge our words, Jesus reminds us, you can't let what other people think influence how you live. For those who can't speak because there's something keeping their lips closed, Jesus says, I have the power to open your mouth. And more than that, I have the power to touch your mind so that you know what to say and have the courage to say it. Are there still demons that keep our mouths shut when they should be open and open them when they should stay closed? It wouldn't surprise me. But that's not really the point. The point is, whatever it is that keeps us from speaking about God and his love, about God and his holiness, about the judgment that's to come, about the hope that is ours, whatever it is that keeps us from speaking, Jesus can remove the obstacle, or through his enlightenment can enable us to remove it ourselves. But the most beautiful truth of all is that because Jesus is part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and from eternity to eternity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit communicate with each other in perfect harmony. They understand each other completely. They support one another fully. Jesus is able to bring that harmony to me. He is able, in his way, in his time, to help me, to help you experience that kind of harmony not only with him, but also with those you love. When we find that communicating is hard, we know what to say but can't quite say it, perhaps want to say something and don't know what to say, Jesus understands. He can give us the power to speak and the wisdom to know what to say. But it doesn't happen in an instant. And it doesn't happen with just one prayer. What Jesus offers us is a lifetime of learning and growing. And for those who will commit to him, the growing will never end. And the miracles will never cease. Heavenly Father, you spoke into the void, and the universe was created. And we, like the Pharisees of old, are not willing to believe in the power of your word, but instead we look for other explanations and other causes. You have spoken to us from the beginning of time. You have even seen fit to preserve for us a part of that communication. And yet, like the Pharisees of old, there will always be those who say, it's a demonic book. It's of no use to modern man. Heavenly Father, you speak into our hearts. As your Spirit speaks to you from our hearts and sighs too deep for words, so you speak to us. Sometimes with communications that words cannot express. And we long to communicate with you. And we long to communicate with those we love. And we long to share your truth with a world that's in desperate need. Open our lips that we might speak. Open our minds that we might know what to say. Open our spirits to receive more of your life-giving Spirit. That every word we speak might be the right word for the situation, might be apples of gold in settings of silver. Through Christ we pray. Amen.